So we missed St. Patrick's Day, but I heard this really interesting thing on the radio. They were talking about the literally like 30 million or possibly more extra pints of Guinness sold on St. Patrick's Day. So it's very good for Guinness that St. Patrick did all his good work.
Yes, indeed.
And I think for many people, they wouldn't have a clue about St. Patrick, but they would be very happy to go and have a Guinness. That's what I'm guessing. I'm not a great fan of Guinness. Are you?
No, I like stout, but I mean, Guinness, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm thinking the patron saint of the podcast, as we all know, is St. Baldred.
Yes, St. Baldred of Tyningham.
Yeah. Yes. And I believe it was his day, because you told me on the 6th of March.
The 6th of March was his feast day, yes. Very little's known about him, and we only like him because his name begins Bald.
Yeah. So, and he was fairly innocuous as saints go.
This is rubbish, really.
Not infamous. So I'm thinking this. Let's get him sponsored by something we like.
Okay.
Because it's good for the drinks industry. So, I mean, Doom Bar. That's a nice pint, or even one of your local breweries, because you like a nice pint, don't you?
Well, here's what I think we should do. If anybody knows a brewery who wants to do a St. Baldred's Ale for us, we'll promote it.
Yeah, exactly.
Know.
Yeah,
just slap a few labels on. We'll shift a few of them. I mean, you know, I could drink a lot of it myself.
Exactly.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 277 of the Midfaith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there is Joe Davis.
Hello, and may I say, welcome back, Nick Page.
Thank you very much.
We missed you.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but it's nice for you to say.
It is true. Of course we did.
Oh, okay.
Of course we did.
Good.
All right, well, we'll find out all about it in a minute. Yeah.
Sure. Any church notices to start with?
Well, I've got a few, actually. Firstly, the hugely popular event Staying Defiantly. That this is a shock. It's cancelled.
Oh, okay.
No one's coming. Actually, two people were, but even that's probably like you'd need at least half a dozen. So what we're doing instead is a Zoom around the same theme of leadership and dissonance in theology and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to morph into a Zoom on Thursday, which I suppose is Thursday the 18th of April. So okay. I'll put links up on Facebook and stuff, but that's what's happened there. We should talk about what's coming up.
We should, actually, because we did announce before my little vacation that we were going to be talking about one of our moderately interesting questions this week, which we are. However, I completely forgot that New Year is coming
on Monday.
Up.
It's on Monday.
Yeah, podcast New Year's Eve is the 24th. And as we all know, the proper New Year's Day is 25th of March. So that's coming up. But then if we do our New Year's themes next week, then we're actually missing out on the fact that it's Easter week.
It's Easter. That feels important still somehow, doesn't it? So
does it? Good. So I'm glad you still feel that Easter's reasonably important for you. So what we're going to do is next week we'll talk a bit about Easter.
Yeah.
And then the week after we'll do our themes, I think, our New Year themes. How does that sound?
Well, are you asking me or the listeners? On behalf of the listeners, yes, that sounds great, Nick. And on behalf of me, that's a plan.
Well, it was partly your plan anyway. So, I'd be surprised if you disagreed with it at this point. But anyway.
Anyway, so that's where we go. Anyway, listen, you're back from holiday. How are you?
I am. Yes, I'm good. Thank you very much. Yes, the holiday had its interesting moments. St. Ives, fell in love with St. Ives. That's just
wonderful.
Absolutely wonderful. Desperately want to sort of...
Yeah.
You know, retire down there. A plan only hampered by my complete lack of pension and not being able to afford anywhere in the area. But anyway, the journey down was fun in a way.
With the dog.
How did Bill cope? Well, he coped very, very well, especially considering we had an hour's delay at Reading due to an incident on the track, as they say. We then had to get on a transfer bus at Plymouth and drive pretty much the whole length of Cornwall.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks to Great Western Railways engineering works. So it was all going hideously sort of slowly, but actually in the end we ended up getting there the same time that we would have, so it was all okay really. And he was great. Yeah, it was good.
And highlights?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't. St. Ives is wonderful, as I said. Yeah. One of the interesting things is because we went by train, we didn't have to worry about a car when we were there. And also, we couldn't really go many places. And that kind of pushes you to pay attention to the place you're in. I realised how much of holiday you spend going, oh, let's drive here, or let's go there, or let's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And,
yeah.
And frankly, we just enjoyed the town, and the Tate Gallery is wonderful. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
It's lovely, lovely food. Claire went to church on Sunday, and it was a dog-friendly church, which we didn't realise. I went walking with Bill, but we could have taken him. So that was nice. And, I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Good, good.
And obviously, I need to be thankful for food, because it's a highlight of the podcast now. And obviously, there can only be one candidate this week.
Which is?
And that is, I am thankful for Cornish pasties.
Oh, tremendous.
I mean, what a thing.
Traditional one or with other flavours in?
You know, I don't care. I mean, traditional one is great. You know, the steak and everything in it. But there were some very nice flavoured ones. And, you know, I did. It's a curious thing. I haven't come back weighing any less from the holiday. I don't know. I
can't understand why.
Given that I had sort of like either fish and chips or pasty each day. You know, anyway. So, yeah, and the other thing is I'm currently struggling with technical issues. I'm going to rebuild my...
Tell me about
my
it.
Mac. I've spent the whole morning trying to reinstall software, the operating system. Something's gone wrong. I don't know. Anyway. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure you're not plagued by anything like that.
Oh, no. Well, you know I am. For years, my printer, HP printer, HP PC, but does the PC want to print to the printer? No, it doesn't. And so I ring HP, they do loads of things. They say, no, you've got to contact your service provider, because it's all wireless. Even though there's a cable that can plug in, it doesn't work. It has to be wirelessly connected. So everything else can print on my printer except the PC that I actually want to print from. And so HP now give me a long list of things to tell my internet provider, who say, we're not doing that. This is HP. Your internet's fine. So I go back to HP and they say, go through a load of other stuff. And they say, oh, no, you need to talk to your internet provider. It's not us. And then you go back to them and they say, no, it's definitely not us. It's HP. Anyway, that's very boring. Sorry. Let me give you, Nick Page, a cautionary Charlie Bigham's tale.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. So Rachel was going down to look after our daughter, who was just needed a bit of looking after for a couple of days. And she thought, I'll take some nice food. So she bought a lovely Charlie Bigham's chicken korma, and she took it down there, and they were excited and they were getting ready, and they pulled it out, and she had two lots of rice and no chicken korma.
No korma.
And evidently there's a bit of a scam going. This is not Charlie Bigham's fault. This is rather dishonest shoppers who swap over the rice take. Yeah, yeah. So that you could argue there's a fault with the packaging. So that was very deeply distressing for my family, who were looking forward to a lovely Charlie Bigham's and ended up with two rice.
She was all rice and no korma.
She was exactly all rice and all korma. So it's very distressing. Anyway, Charlie Bigham's are very understanding, and they provided a couple of free meals, which is lovely. But, you know, yeah. Yeah. But too little too late, I'm afraid.
A Charlie Bigham scam. How awful.
It is. Yeah, terrible. What else? Well, let me tell you, let's not talk about technical issues and Charlie Bigham scandals. Let's talk about good stuff. Chiff Chaffs. They're singing. The song of the Chiff Chaff is alive and well. and even listeners have been putting things up on Facebook. So bless you. Thank you all. It's great. It's just sign of spring.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah, our dear friend Harry Baker is on tour, so I put the dates on our Facebook page. I'm grateful for food. Slow cookers and second-hand shops. We got ours from a second-hand shop. We got the we got the bread maker from the second-hand shop, a fiver. It's worth 65 quid new.
Sounds like you got a Charlie Bigham's meal from a second-hand shop as well.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to love second-hand shops, haven't you? Anyway, great. And in particular, sausage casserole. But that's by and by. And also, our dear friend, Dave Tomlinson, has got a new book out called OMG, A Bad Christian's Book of Prayers, and I absolutely love it. It's terrific. So recommend that to those that want some decent prayers in their lives.
We'll put so we'll put links to all that in the show notes. Well, there we are. That's us, and we're back. I didn't mention one thing, actually. You know the episode you did with our mutual friend Joe?
Yes. Joe Ibbert. Fabulous Joe Ibbert.
Only number four podcast in religion and spirituality category in Slovakia.
Really?
I mean, she is huge in Slovakia.
Well, that's going to delight her, isn't it?
Who knew? I mean, there's a market she hasn't tapped, I think. You know, menopausal Slovakians, they're just waiting. They're just waiting there. So there we go.
Great knowledge.
We're all huge. We're huge in Slovakia. Who knew?
Great.
Yes, so we should get on and not keep the Slovakian audience waiting.
All four of them, we should
all
add.
All four. Yeah, well, I don't know if it's that many.
No, possibly not.
Anyway, so what we're going to do this week is we're going to look at this one of these questions that I sort of threw out at the beginning of the year, something that was concerning me. And this was to do with a phrase that I'd heard spoken from the front, you know, which is somebody had stood up there. Well, a worship leader. Let's not bandy words.
Beat about the bush.
Let's call a spade a spade. A worship leader had stood up and said, "God demands our praise." And I sat there thinking, "Does he? That seems terribly narcissistic." And so I began to think about it, and I've obviously had a love-hate relationship with worship songs for some years. Well, more a hate relationship, if I'm honest. It's not much love in it, but even the praise time, we're often sort of nagged into praising, or sort of it's seen as a kind of mood altering time. Whereas don't matter what mood you've come in, we're going to play some upbeat music, and we're going to get you on the dance floor. You know, it's worship on the dance floor, and you better not spoil the mood. Or whatever, and I think that's a real problem, because the issue can be we don't feel that way, and then you end up either faking it or, you know, looking like a right old grump. And if you are a worship leader and listening, thank you for what you do, but please could you stop urging people to stand up? Because why? If you don't feel like standing up, you only end up looking like a right old grump, or drawing more attention to yourself, or you stand up and have to fake it. And just let people do what they want to do. Anyway, so all that stuff bubbled up.
It did. In a sort of grumpy rant.
Well, no, what do we mean by praise? And so why does God need praise is the question. And so we had some quite a lot of feedback one way or another about that, haven't we?
Yeah.
So why don't we go into that?
Yeah, let's do that. And just to say, I've noticed that when we do the comments on Facebook, they tend to be pithier, which is nice. I'm going to start with one from Facebook, and then we go to an email, and then we'll finish with the Facebook comments, which were overwhelmingly positive, I have to say. So this from Susanna. She said, "I always struggled with the idea that God demands our praise and that we must praise him. But worship leaders seemed to think this was fact as they enthusiastically tried to whip us into a fervour of ecstatic bliss. My main point is that if God was a person like us, we wouldn't think much of his extreme egotism, would we? Personally, I don't think he or she is like that at all." So that's, there you are. That's sort of drawing on that narcissistic point you were making.
Summarised my feelings much more pithily, actually, than I did.
Yeah, and then Dave wrote in. In fact, Dave wrote in ages ago when you first muted the idea. He says, "I was excited to hear you discussing moderately interesting subjects for future episodes." I even think that was ambitious. He says, "When I heard Nick suggest something to the effect of, 'Does God really demand our praise?' I yelled, 'Yes, Nick.' Not because I think the answer is yes, but because I've been posing the same question to friends, even some with dog collars, for a couple of years now. As yet, I've not had a satisfactory answer. My impression is that Jesus wanted us to listen to and follow his message, not to make him into a celebrity icon. Often as I stand in church listening to song after song about praising Jesus and lifting up his name, I cannot participate because I really feel we are totally missing the point. Don't get me wrong. In my church, like many others, I'm sure, their love of God is also manifesting in some very ambitious and effective ministries in the community. And I think these do reflect Jesus' message. But I can't help wondering if every time some Christians spend time praising Jesus, his reaction might be more dismay than delight because we have upended his message. I'm open to being shown that Jesus or God wants us to praise Jesus, but so far the only pertinent reference I've found is when Mary washed his feet with perfume and tears. Yes, Jesus did welcome her worship, but I believe she was expressing personal relief and gratitude, not putting him on a pedestal because he wanted or required her to. I think that people who don't have faith might be more respectful of us pointing to Jesus' message and lived example, rather than if we're telling them that he's the King of Kings, the Saviour of the world, who deserves their praise and honour. The former is something they can engage with, but the latter is very abstract and so unrelatable for many in this area. And that's it. Best wishes from Dave.
Well, I think there's a lot in there, obviously. I'll come on to the gratitude bit, I think, in a moment.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to sort of not, you know, the praising of Jesus, I take the point entirely. I'm not entirely comfortable, though, with jettisoning a mode of worship which was embraced by the early church. So if you read Philippians 2, for example, you know, that talks about there's a kind of early church hymn in there, which talks about how Jesus emptied himself, therefore God exalted him.
Yeah.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and all that kind of stuff. But I think that it is an interesting thing about what other people would think as they come into that, and also about some of the language that we use about Jesus that sometimes we don't find helpful. You know, there's a kind of cliched poetry language about it. You know, how beautiful is his name? I know that's biblical, but I never really get it.
No,
because his name was Joshua, and it was like, you know.
Dave.
It's like Dave. It was Dave's, the equivalent
Dave's
of Dave.
A beautiful name too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is. Exactly. Well, I suppose there is that. Yeah, every name's beautiful, really. Anyway, but I do take the point. I don't know what you think about that.
I think this. I think sometimes because of our kind of Christology, we get confused, and I'm not sure that it is the sort of carpenter Jesus of Nazareth so much as when he takes on that title of the Christ.
Right.
And we are exalting the Christ. Now, to me, you may say I'm splitting hairs there, but there's a very big difference in those two things, because the same Christ that was in Jesus is in us. And that is awesome and wonderful and incredible. And I think that expressing praise about that is a very appropriate response. But to focus on the person of Jesus is less helpful. That's what I think. Yeah. Great. Well, let's press on. And this is sort of comments from our Facebook page. And the first one's from Annie. Hey, hi, Annie. This is Annie, who we know. We used to work with her.
Hello, Annie.
Hi, Annie. Anyway, she says, I'm sitting in my chair, which I seem to be doing a lot lately. I'm looking out onto my garden, watching the tiny blue tits feeding off the feeder, the different colours of green in the hedge, the clouds slowly passing by. In the conservatory are the beautiful flowers I was given for Mother's Day, which I opened and are magnificent. And I'm part of this wonderful, amazing creation, God's creation. I can't stop myself saying how great thou art, and thank you for this beautiful world we live in and for all the wonderful people around me. I'm not a complicated person. Well, I don't think so. I just know that my heart wants to sing when I look at all my Heavenly Father has given me. Praise, praise be to God. Love and blessings, Annie. Well, that's a great response, isn't it?
Thank you, Annie. That was lovely. And Andy said this. He said, to me, praise is so closely aligned to gratitude and appreciation. The idea of God demanding praise reminds me of times I felt the need to prompt our kids to thank us when receiving birthday or Christmas presents.
Yeah, that's great. And Kay says, I've always liked the idea that praise completes an appreciation. Climbing a mountain is great, but expressing how great the view is to someone else makes the experience feel complete. I think it's how Facebook works. Something you've been part of seems so much better once you've expressed your gratitude for it. I really don't think the divine needs our praise, but we probably need to express it. That's good, isn't it?
That is great. And I think this is where I'd want to start about it, because I've been thinking about it and looking at the biblical things. And I think gratitude is absolutely the root of praise.
Yes.
Really.
Agreed.
It's not about sort of just praise in and of itself. But if you look at the Hebrew words, there's lots of Hebrew words used for praise actually, but the most common one is tehillah. I think.
Oh, yes, I know a song about that. Tequila.
Well, that would be a great praise song, to be honest, wouldn't it? Tequila! Because the Hebrew word, the tequila root connotes being sort of deeply and sincerely thankful. You know, and therefore able to sort of praise, you know, superior qualities or gifts or whatever, great acts that we've really benefited from. And so, you know, I think that's the kind of thing. So it's not a demand from God in that sense.
No,
it's a response to God.
And that's really important, isn't it? Because when someone starts demanding you thank them and praise them, it doesn't make you feel like doing it, does it?
No, absolutely. You know, and it's even the verb, as I understand it, I don't do Hebrew, but I've looked up stuff. You know, the verb, as I understand it, is in the by far the majority is plural, and so it's a communal act. Often, praise, but always rooted in gratitude. Gratitude for what God's done for Israel. Gratitude for creation. Gratitude. It can be gratitude for beauty. Gratitude for all kinds of things. So I think that actually, if we want to start times of praise and worship, it'd be good to start by thankfulness and thinking about that, and then you've got something to sort of root your praise in. I think straight away.
Great, like it. Okay, well. Shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on.
Okay, well, Helen says, we've talked about prayer as being about paying attention. Maybe praise is also a time of reminder that there is something so much bigger than us that we can turn to, be immersed in, be loved and enjoyed being in the presence of. So that was nice, isn't it? And then we've had this one in from beloved listener John, who you may remember we first met at Lee Abbey. He starts with a quote, "I need to worship because without it, I can forget that I have a big God beside me and live in fear. I need to worship because without it, I can forget his calling and begin to live in a spirit of self-preoccupation. I need to worship because without it, I lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and plod through life with blinders on. I need to worship because my natural tendency is towards self-reliance and stubborn independence." And that's by John Ortberg. He says, "I think praise is almost completely, if not entirely, for our benefit, a bit like prayer. We get genuinely improved and transformed by the process as we engage in relationship with God. The Father delights in it because he longs for us to become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit weaves her way through it because she loves being part of the process." Well, I really like that from John. Again, it's a whole different response. It's not being told you got to praise because God demands our praise. It's just like, oh, actually, there's something about praise that's really good for me. And others picked up on this as well. Rebecca said, "When I praise God, it changes my focus. I stop thinking about myself and my problems, and I start to open my mind and heart to the immensity of the divine. And suddenly everything is not so bleak." I like that.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I mean, one of the bits I was reading about the sort of theology of it there's a quote in that, I don't know who wrote it. He said, to publicly exalt God's person and work is tantamount to an affirmation of life itself, which I think is true.
Yes,
you know,
that's good.
I think that is what we're doing, because, and again, gratitude plays a huge part, but wonder and awe, which I know is something you've often talked about, it's a big thing for you, isn't it? That stuff becomes part of praise because you're recognizing, I suppose, the abilities of something much greater than yourself, the creation of something much greater than you could ever create, and you're kind of reveling in it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the point to make that these people have been making is that, so really we're not doing this for God's benefit, because I think the old paradigm was we need to boost God up, we need to praise him up and big him up, and you know, to such an extent that he will actually come and inhabit our praise and be presence, and then he might give us some of the stuff that we need. Do you know, no one would have ever explicitly said that, but that was the implications behind it. Whereas I think we're saying, do you know what, there's something, like, if I can use this language, really good for our mental health, about taking us outside of ourselves and seeing the wonder of the world around us. And I know, I mean, I do, we joke about it, I know, but, you know, I love to take time, preferably every day, to wonder at something, whether it's a skyscape or a seascape or a landscape or a bird or a tree or whatever it is, and just to connect with that sense of creation. And I am filled with wonder and awe. I don't know whether I'd call it praise, but I think praise has some baggage associated to it now because of all the sort of bad associations that we've spoken about. But to be in awe and wonder of the divine is a very natural response, I think.
Well, if we see praise as, you know, heightened appreciation of something, you know, then I think that's possibly more helpful for us rather than just saying nice things in and of itself. I mean, one of the problems is I think that we've divorced praise from any kind of intellectual content quite often. And, you know, one of the things I want to say is praise and worship is always or should always be rooted in some kind of factual information or something, you know, something like rather than just a vague feeling. You know, I was thinking of that song. I was singing it this morning to Claire and she was very blessed by it. Praise Him on the Trumpet. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, you used to sing it a lot. Praise Him on the Trumpet, the psaltery and harp. Yeah. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments. With stringed instruments
too.
Praise Him on the loud cymbal.
Ooh, cha.
Hey. And then praise Him on the loud cymbal again, obviously, because the first cymbal wasn't loud enough. And then let everything has breath, praise the Lord. And then you sang, you know, praise Him, praise Him, praise the Lord until you were blessed. But at no point, I had no idea what any of those instruments were, you know, and B, there was nothing. Why? Nobody at any point in that says, why should we praise God? You just know you've got to get the instruments out and bang around, which is fun, but you know. I think that's it. You know, if we just sort of segment it off. So if you're leading worship, There must be reasons to praise God. When you were talking about your awe and wonder, it's because you've seen something. Something has resonated, or you've learnt something, or you've sat in one of Brian Cox's interminable lectures and gone all mystical about the cosmos.
Fabulous.
You know, So, you know, I just think that's absolutely a key part of it, is the intellectual sort of content, the reasons for praise.
I agree. And I think while we're talking about praise, can we just talk about lament? Because the Psalms have those things side by side. And I suppose what I'm realising is this. Generally speaking, I mean, I'm a fairly upbeat kind of guy, but I do struggle with life. I find life really hard day by day. I think life is difficult and there's a lot of difficulties. And the great tendency is to see particularly my work days, as a series of problems to overcome and battle through and push through. And, you know, it's not a very exciting existence, but, you know, to see life as a series of hurdles to overcome. And I think what praise does, or wonder, as I would prefer to call it, does, is it arrests that focus on all that's difficult in life and all the struggles and all the problems. And it forces you to acknowledge something so much bigger than yourself and your own problems.
Mm.
And I think that's what's so great about, as I think Helen said, paying attention to the wonder that is all around you. And you've talked about, because you've quoted Simone Weil many times on this podcast, you know, just that idea of paying attention in itself can be a prayer. And it can definitely be praise, I think, or cause praise to rise up, you know.
Well, I'd say a few things about that. Firstly, I think, Joe, as we know, your life is not filled with problems. It's filled with opportunities.
Thank you.
I hope that's helped. I think if you see them like that.
You know how I want to respond to that, but I'll save you the editing.
Thank you very much. Just do it in mime. And there is this sort of sense. Thank you. Bless you for those gestures. There is this sense, I think, that sometimes praise is kind of used as this behavior modification to try and change the way you're feeling. And, you know, this is why I think the link between fear and praise is actually deeply unhelpful. I know it's talked of in certain points in the Bible, but you cannot praise genuinely somebody you're scared of. How could you do that?
No.
So, but I do think actually there's a great biblical precedent for what you're talking about in Psalm 42, when it, which is basically the psalm of a man who's lost everything. But he goes, you know, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I hope in God, for I shall again praise him. There's a kind of point where he realizes that actually that, you know, there will come a time when something breaks through.
It's passing. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely.
But I think it's really important that in the Bible, there's a time for not praising as well. Mm. And when they were in exile, there's that bit in Psalms where they said, we hung up the harps, we put away the psalteries and the timbrels. Anyone who sang that was going to get stoned, you know. Never mind that. The loud cymbal was right out, I tell you that. Because we couldn't praise at that point. No. And I think there's a point, you know, for us as mid-faith crisis where we might have to put away that kind of praise for a bit and then recognise that maybe there'll be a time when it will come back.
Yeah, well, interestingly, Chris said on Facebook, for me, prayer often follows the pattern you see in many of the Psalms. I have a good whinge to God about life, which slowly becomes an acknowledgement of him and his goodness and beauty. Praise is getting a glimpse of the reality of God and needing to express it. So that's psalm-like, isn't it?
And it is, absolutely.
Yeah, and Stuart said, maybe we need to praise God to be fully human and in right relationship and perspective as created and dependent beings. So that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Again, it's to do with relationship as well. And what you can't do is force emotions on people. Like, I just want to praise you. I want to praise you with every breath that I ever take. And because those may be good things to do and good things to say, and there's an appropriate time to sing them. But what do you do in a congregation? And I think you've already hinted at the answer to this question now I think about it, where you've got people with so much going on in their lives. You've got people struggling with cancer, and you've got people who've just made redundant, and you've got people who've just had a child, and you've got people who are really happy and everything, and you're calling them all to worship.
Mm.
And I think you're absolutely right when you say, well, you need to give me some, wherever I'm at, I need some tangibles here. It's very obvious for someone who's just had a baby born how wonderful God is and the mystery of creation, the joy of creation. It's not so obvious if you've just been diagnosed with cancer. So you might need reminding of some stuff that, you know, is really important for that stage of life, like God's unceasing presence with you or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, you know, let's stop trying to force everybody into the same emotional sort of state, because people aren't in that. And I think actually also for those of us who are in the emotional state, let's not be dog in the manger either. You know, that we shouldn't sort of seek to clamp down on other people's joy. That won't actually make you feel better. But you know, it's just recognizing that people come with all kinds of stuff, and that, you know, just some sort of naive sort of shouting let's praise him isn't really going to work there. So look, I found that thinking around that really helpful, and I suppose for me, I just need to kind of think about how do I help people into a time of praise, for want of a better word. I wish I could have thought of a different phrase there, but I couldn't, because it's so ingrained in me. But, you know, how do we help people see the wonder? How do we help people into a time of deep appreciation?
Yeah.
And how do we sit with them at a time when they're not appreciative at all, you know, and just be with them.
Yeah, and genuinely, it was fantastic reading people's responses. And I'm sorry if I didn't read yours out. It may have repeated something someone else said, but they were really good. And it's really helped me set praise in the perspective of, this is not something God needs or we're doing for God's benefit. This is something I, as someone who has been created and is in relationship with the divine, do for myself, because it's like really healthy part of being a human being, realizing there's something so much bigger and awesome and outside of myself. So I think they've been fantastic comments, and I do commend everyone who commented. Thank you.
Well, great. That's I've really enjoyed that. So listen, we should wrap up now, and I would like to say thank you. And I'd like to praise people.
Shall we praise people?
Yes, I'm going to praise our supporters.
Yeah.
Well done. There you are. That was quite English.
Awesome.
Praise.
That was nice and understated. Well done, you.
Yeah. Well done, you. No, thank you very much. We are full of praise for the people who listen and admiration and a slight sense of confused bafflement. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for those of you who support the podcast. That makes such a difference and may even help get us through some of these technical nightmares. Thank you to everybody who commented on Facebook or wrote in. That's really great. If you wish to write in on this subject or any other subject, point your email to
joe@midfaithcrisis.org. Yeah.
We'll be back with you next week. And I think Joe, as he's still an ordained Baptist minister, is now going to end with a blessing. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, this is again from Dave Tomlinson's book, OMG, A Bad Christian's Book of Prayers. And this one's called Companionship of Wonder. And I just thought it was rather good for the end of this episode. It goes like this. God beyond all notions of God, filling the universe, yet inhabiting the tiny body of a dormouse, the solemn beauty of a copper beech tree. Keep me alert to this companionship of wonder which daily surrounds me, the music of billions of atoms chorusing me through my days. Awake also to that love that will not let me go, ever. To the presence which tenderly shadows my every move, closer than breath, honest as a friend.